England are not hated enemies of German football fans. The Italians, the Dutch, those are the nations that Germans would find it possible to support.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
You're welcome along to the Sunday Kickback, and we have just seen Manchester City snatch it at the death against Wolves in fairly controversial circumstances. Shane Keegan, should John Stones' goal have been allowed?
I don't know. I've seen it that many times and I still can't make my mind up, Nathan.
We pay the big bucks to know these things.
But I don't know. You've a certain rosy tinted glasses on it now, I think, in terms of how you're looking. I think, look, he's definitely in an offside position. There's no doubt about that whatsoever. Is he interfering with the goalkeeper as the corner is coming across? Yes. Is he interfering with the goalkeeper at the point where John Stones heads the ball? No. Listen, we need probably a little bit of clarification on exactly what the rule is and at what point the referee has to make the decision about that interference. The fact that he's so blatantly, so clearly trying to duck at the point where John Stones is heading it, and that's the point we could clearly see on Chris Kavanagh's camera, that's the point where it's frozen. I don't know, is that what swings it?
Would the argument be that if he's not interfering, what's he doing there?
And like I said, there's no doubt he's interfering as the cross is coming. Now the keeper isn't making an attempt to come out and collect the cross. It's not like he's going to come and punch it away or anything, but he's definitely been disrupted. But again, at what point are we looking at how much disruption he's causing? Certainly by the time we can clearly see on the stills, by the time John Stones heads the ball, he is actually actively ducking and stepping to one side. And I think that's why I didn't think he'd give it, I'll be honest with you. I thought he'd overturn it. I really thought it's the easier option is to disallow it. I think in front of the home support, you know, when you're called across to have a look at it, I can't remember the last time I've seen a referee called across to have a look at the camera and actually stick with his original decision. That's arguably a first for me.
Yeah, and the debate that will follow over the coming days will be about what is interference, and are you allowed to give that on the way in, and does that disrupt the goalkeeper? And if it's not, well, why are you doing it in the first place? Because obviously you're just trying to get into the keeper's head that you're there, that you might be just in his, not right in his eyesight, but you're just at his side. So,
and for me, it's arguably even more so. I'm not asking the question of what is interference, because to me, he has definitely interfered with the goalkeeper. For me, the question I'd like a bit of clarification around is, at what point does the interference have a bearing on whether the goal stands or not? Is it as the pass is being played, or is it as the at the point of contact? Because if it's as the pass has been played, well, then I don't know how it's not overruled. But for me, the freeze frame that they kept freezing it for on Chris Kavanagh, I can understand at that point he's saying, well, I can see Bernardo Silva's ducking down here. He's clearly trying to get out of the way. What more can he do? Well, hold on, he's bundled into him once or twice as the ball is in flight.
That's again that key of the freeze frame, and because actually when he went over first and the angle that they showed him, I thought, well, he's definitely going to disallow this, because it made it look as though Bernardo Silva was closer to the keeper than he actually was. The question is about the nudge and that relevance of the little nudge on the keeper as if that's interference. They've obviously decided it isn't. Manchester City win the game. Did they deserve to win the game?
Oh, I don't know. Like, put it this way, if and I assume they probably have given out the Man of the Match awards in the stadium before that goal is scored. Like, if you're looking at who was the best player on the pitch, you're choosing between arguably six different Wolves players before you'd even consider a Manchester City player. So by that barometer, Wolves were by far the more impressive side. City have had absolutely all of the ball. They've had the majority of the shots on target. They certainly didn't have the better chances, which is amazing, really, because even though the keeper's made a couple of, you know, really impressive saves, you could argue that they were all saves that he'd back himself to make. Whereas there's no doubt Semedo's chance early in the second half is, without a doubt, the most clear-cut chance that wasn't taken.
It's a big, big 3 points for Manchester City. It would have been three games out of four where they had dropped points, but now they're top of the table ahead of Liverpool, Chelsea. They're well used to playing against teams with a very low block. What Wolves offered today was something different on the counter-attack, that a lot of teams didn't have the quality that they showed today. But we saw against Arsenal, where again, they got the goal, so ultimately it worked and it happened for them, and John Stones was the right man in the right place again. Are they struggling more against teams with a low block this season than they have over the last couple of years?
Yeah, they seem to be, which is strange, really, in that they've recruited yet another player who excels in 1v1 situations in Savinho. So I'm not sure why it is. Teams just seem to have got a handle on it better. They're constantly looking to show the wide player down the line and set their body in such a way that if the player tries to come inside, there's an immediate player backing them up very, very quickly, which works very, very well for the defending team until Gvardiol opens his body out and has the capability of, you know, how many players in the Premier League, how many defenders in the Premier League can consistently shift the ball onto their weaker foot and put it in the top corner from outside the 18-yard box? Gvardiol is doing it time and time again. I mean, it's incredible, really, the level of quality he's got there. But, like, I suppose the argument is to keep finding a winner. So maybe, you know, why are we throwing so many questions at them if they keep finding the winner? Yet for long periods, Nathan, it looked like same old thing. Opposition just setting up, let Ruben Diaz have it, and whoever he passes it to, run and press that player, and then drop back into the shape again when Ruben Diaz has it again. That's the template.
And there's also an argument that they started today's game without the three best players in the Premier League in Rodri, Kevin De Bruyne and Phil Foden, all three of whom in these type of games over the last few years are the ones who find that little bit of something different, because it was quite predictable with Doku and Savinho, who you could look at and say both had really good games and were very threatening, and likewise when Jack Grealish came on. But they all sort of did the same thing again and again and again, that low, come in, cut in, ball back, and Wolves dealt with that very easily, whereas maybe those three are the ones with that bit of magic that can do something different.
Yeah, and listen, I understand they've got a European game during the week and he has to look at, you know, when does he use Foden, when does he not use Foden. Maybe he feels Foden came back from the World Cup a little bit tired and that he needed to give him a bit more of an extended break. But for me, he showed more imagination and more spark in the whatever it was, 20, 25 minutes he was on the field than any other City player did. And I was very surprised they didn't go to. Was there an element of taking it for granted a little bit too much against Wolves? They're having a poor season. You know, Savinho will beat a man 1v1 and will score that way. Doku will beat a man 1v1 and will score that way. That wasn't what happened, Nathan. In every, pretty much every single 1v1 duel, Anouri on the left-hand side, Semedo on the right-hand side, they were given as good as they were getting. They really, really were. I thought they were excellent. I thought the three centre halves were brilliant. Midfield three absolutely working their socks off. And in Strand Larsen, they had a player that gave them quality in that out ball every single time it was popped up to him, gave them a foothold to get themselves up the field. And as we say, they showed some tremendous attacking intent on those counterattacks that they did launch.
We saw Arsenal lose for the first time this season last night. We'll wait and see what happens with Liverpool, but then we have Arsenal against Liverpool next weekend, so there's going to be points dropped there. Do you look at City and think there's more hope for Liverpool and Arsenal this season than previous years, or do you look at City and think they're going to get to 94, 95 points?
The crazy thing, Nathan, is that we could make the argument that in the last two or three weeks they've had they're having a bit of a wobble, and yet during the period that they're having the wobble, they're still picking up points, you know. And this is the thing with them, is that, you know, you look at the last two, three seasons, City do have a period of maybe 2 months where they're below par and maybe they're not blowing teams out of the water and maybe they are dropping a few points and all that kind of thing. But the reality is, for anybody to finish ahead of City, you've got to be arguably close to 10 points ahead of them coming down the stretch, because they just seem to blow everybody out of the water in those final 10 games. Arsenal dropping points last night this early in the season, a major, major blow for them, a major blow. They need to be streaking ahead of City, not chasing City.
And three games they've dropped points in, three red cards in those games, Saliba out of the match against Liverpool. They're making life very, very difficult for themselves at the moment. Just on Wolves then, second from bottom, it's the first time in their history they've lost their first four home games of the season, but they played really tough fixtures. They've a nice run of games coming up now, really between now and Christmas. Is there enough there that you've seen from Gary O'Neill's team to suggest that firstly he should stay in the job, but that actually they're good enough to stay up?
Yeah, well, you made the point really well before the game that when you looked at that set of fixtures, you know, Gary O'Neill had to be looking and going, if I can just get over this one without an absolute tanking, then hopefully I'll still be in the job coming into games where there's a far more realistic opportunity of picking up points. Listen, there's no way on earth that Wolves are considering sacking Gary O'Neill. Well, I would like to think there's no way on earth that Wolves are considering sacking Gary O'Neill on the back of that performance. I thought they were so, so good today. A team that, you know, you hear the famous phrase, losing the dressing room. He absolutely, certainly hasn't lost the dressing room. Every player out there worked their socks off, worked to a system, worked to a very, very clear game plan. And I think, you know, I was going to say he should be taking nothing but positives. Look, he'll be sick. He'll be sick over the manner of it. I did say I think it's to be admired the way he handled himself at the final whistle. You were waiting for an explosion. The explosion never came. He went, he shook hands with Pep Guardiola. He went out onto the pitch. He actually jogged out onto the pitch, which made me think, here we go. He's going to have a real dig at him. And in fact, the reason he was jogging out onto the pitch was because he wanted to get to his players as quickly as possible, the ones that were remonstrating with the referee, and pull them all away and just bring them down towards the support where they all joined in applause, and applause that they still well and truly deserved. Listen, I think his reputation has only been enhanced by what happened today, to be honest. And he's a man, there's a likability about him, there's a genuineness about him that I think feeds through to his team. And I hope they pick up, you know, a good few points over the next while. I hope he gets himself out of that zone, because based on what we saw today, I've seen other sides this year, the Southamptons, Ipswiches and that. For me, Wolves have far, far more quality than those kind of sides.
All right, another big game to come, Liverpool against Chelsea. Vinnie Perth and Stephen Doyle will be here later on with all the reaction to that.